This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. We're going to begin today with the growing chasm between President Obama and members of his own party. You've probably followed Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren's opposition to the president's push for a sweeping trade deal, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Earlier this week, Warren and her fellow Senate Democrats dealt the president a stinging rebuke, voting against a measure to give Obama fast-track authority to complete the deal. Although Senate leaders worked out a way yesterday to move forward, the argument over the trade deal shows just how far the president is from many Democrats on this issue. And today, former Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank explained why. In a letter to President Obama in the Boston Globe, Mr. Frank wrote, "We are against increased foreign trade without adopting measures that will diminish excessive inequality." And Barney Frank joins us now. Welcome back to Radio Boston. It's great to have you, Congressman.
Thank you. I'm glad to have this opportunity.
So let's start with this key idea that you lay out in your piece today. How would a trade deal like this worsen economic inequality?
Years ago, there was this general consensus among economics, trade is good. Well, yes, it's been examined further, and there's a new consensus that's more realistic. Trade is good for the overall gross domestic product. It will increase wealth. But it does it in a very unequal way. What happens is that those Americans who make the kind of things where we have a comparative advantage over the rest of the world, with high technology, where a high degree of skill is required, where intellectual property is put to use, they prosper. But people who are in basic manufacturing, hey, even people who do call centers, et cetera, they lose out. And that's why I quote in the article from the magazine The Economist, the British magazine, which has been the beacon of free trade. And even they say, as I quote, trade hurts the wages of working people. Global economic distribution is one of the reasons why there's been the stagnation of wages for working people, middle-income people. Let's make a deal. Let's acknowledge that trade will both increase the overall wealth of the country while exacerbating the unfair distribution and accompany it with a package of things that take some of the increased wealth in effect and provide them to the people who would otherwise be hurt.
What kind of things? Things like increasing the minimum wage, that sort of thing?
Increasing the minimum wage. Hmm. Raising the taxes on hedge fund managers who now inaccurately get a capital gains when they should be paying regular income. Reenacting laws that stop this loophole where what we call our inversions, where a company in America buys a foreign company, calls itself the foreign company, and stops paying American taxes. President Obama had a very good proposal for increasing aid for community colleges for working-class people who would otherwise not be able to get there. Getting the Republicans to stop blocking the expansion of highway and transportation so that we could put more people to work.
Now, Congressman Frank, President Obama did address some of those concerns when political columnist Matt Bai asked him in Yahoo News about some of this and about some of the arguments made by critics that the trade deal would be good for business but not help workers. And here's what the president said.
Those fears are real, and I have a whole bunch of ideas about how we can make sure that the growth and increases in productivity and opportunities are broad-based in our economy as opposed to just helping folks at the very top.
So my question to you is, you mentioned a whole lot of things that the president has already proposed. I mean, do you not trust the president on this, that we can make sure that the growth and increase in productivity and opportunities are broad-based?
It's not a question of trusting the president. I know as a fact that the Republicans who control both houses of Congress are killing those proposals that he talks about. I'm glad to hear that quote. I hadn't heard it exactly. My answer to him is, Mr. President, that's precisely the point. If you go ahead and get a trade bill and that's all, and don't insist on some kind of mutuality, then every other thing you talk about will die. I believe, frankly, that the only way to get the enactment and the adoption of these other proposals the president correctly talked about, and he deserves credit for proposing them, is to hold the trade bill hostage, frankly. Why would you go to people who are killing everything else that you agree should be part of this deal that offsets some of the negatives of trade and say, you know what, I'm going to sign on to the trade bill if you pass it, and I won't insist that you pass anything else. What I'm saying is, let's make it part of a package. Let's say to the Republicans, those other things that the president talked about, and he's right, make them a condition, at least some of them, of passing the trade bill. Hmm. Because otherwise, what the course he's on now will be that the trade bill will get passed, He will sign it, and everything else that he just talked about to Matt Bai will die.
I want to ask you just a little bit about this chasm and the way President Obama has responded to some of his critics in his own party. He accused Senator Warren of playing politics with the issue. He dismissed her concerns as absolutely wrong. And he said this. He said opponents of his trade deal are living in the past. Their arguments are based on fear. They're fighting NAFTA, the trade deal that was passed 25 or 20 years ago, he said.
Well, first of all, the Globe Magazine had a right to do edited my letter. I began by saying, Mr. President, you pointed out that you come to this free of any electoral considerations because you aren't going to run again. And I said, me too. I mean, no, he can't say that I have any political motive. Secondly, I think he's a little bit behind the times. It is true. Frankly, and sometimes people are guided by what they learned when they were younger in college. When he was in college 30 years ago, there was a general consensus among economics that free trade was a good thing, that it helped everybody. Similarly, by the way, there was an economic consensus at the time that the minimum wage increase was bad. Economists have gotten better from the liberal standpoint on both of those issues. And there is now a recognition, not just the economist, Tom Friedman, who was the New York Times columnist, who's an ardent free trader, says in an article last week, I will leave to the president to explain how we will help the workers who are harmed, acknowledging that workers will be hurt by this. I think the president is forgetting, and it's not a question of the specifics of NAFTA. This isn't a question of the specifics of this trade bill as much as I, at least, am saying this is what happens in the real economic world. And again, I do not understand why the president is so disappointed in us. What I'm saying is, Mr. President, you are right about all those other things you want. But if we do it the way you want to do it, they will all die. Frankly, I think this is maybe an example of some of people feeling he hadn't had enough legislative experience.
Well, so where do we stand now? What's your feeling about where we stand now? Because yesterday, Senate leaders did find a way to move forward on the effort to give the president fast-track authority on the trade deal. Basically, if I'm understanding this, I don't want to go too deeply down this rabbit hole, but they basically found a way to on a trade enforcement bill that includes new remedies to counter currency manipulation. Is that enough?
No. And here's the deal. His problem has never been the Senate. The Senate has always been, in fact, the fact that he couldn't get it at first in the Senate was a shocker. The key issue here is the House. Because in the House, there are some right-wing Republicans who aren't going to vote for it for the wrong reasons. They don't like Obama. They don't want to give him increased power. What they've agreed to do in the Senate is to improve the trade bill itself, and I think that's a good thing. So what the Senate did was good, but it wouldn't satisfy me. And I don't think it will satisfy the leading opponents of it in the House. And I've spoken today to Congresswoman DeLauro, who's leading that, and I exchanged calls with Senator Warren, and we didn't actually connect.
Finally, what's your prediction on how this ends up? Is there going to be a trade deal, or do you think like-minded folks, people who agree with you, are going to block this?
Again, we're not trying to block a trade deal. I disagree with that. Well, they're blocking the minimum wage increase. They're blocking the increase in taxation on hedge fund managers who get an unfair loophole. They're blocking the kind of funds that we ought to do in Amtrak to make it safer. So the question is, why should we, who agree with all these things that the president is for, why should we agree to let them all die and only do trade?
All right. Well, Barney Frank is a former congressman. He represented Massachusetts' 4th congressional district. Mr. Frank, thanks so much for speaking with us today. We're very grateful.
You're welcome.
And stay with us. Coming up, the debate over compassionate use. Who gets access to experimental drugs, and do they do more harm than good? I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.